Good morning, I'm Judy. I'm a compulsive overeater. Right now, I have 2 years and 7 months of abstinence. Since I've come in, I've lost nearly 4 stone in weight, and I've gained a huge amount of energy, and I think I probably have greater vitality and liveliness in the last couple of years than I had for the previous 2.5 decades. I've even taken up swing dancing. Step 12. In the AA 12 and 12, I was reading the chapter on step 12, and the first sentence reads, "The joy of living is the theme of step 12, and action is the key word." And that really struck me, because when I came to OA over 2.5 years ago, joy was certainly not what I was feeling. And when I look back on this time, I really marvel at the difference in my experience of my present day-to-day life. Joy is something I do experience, often for no very obvious reason. I wake up in the morning, and there it is, a little thrill of pleasure that here I have another day to explore. When I first came to OA, I was so emotional, I couldn't seem to open my mouth without ending in tears. And that made me feel pathetic, stupid, and disheveled. But instead of rejection, I was met with kindness, acceptance, and understanding. I felt held by the compassion that I found when I came to OA. When I finally decided to come to OA, I realized I needed something more powerful than the diets and diet clubs I'd previously turned to. And as my doctor had told me, "You're clinically obese, your blood sugar is high, your cholesterol is high, and you're on the verge of a number of really serious and unpleasant conditions." And I tried and tried to lose weight, but each time I would lose a few pounds or half a stone, I would feel absolutely compelled to eat and eat again. As I had friends recovering in AA, I felt that OA might help me. My AA friends suggested it was important to get a sponsor as soon as possible and do exactly what my sponsor suggested. Before my first meeting, I decided I would do whatever it was that I had to do, and I made a promise to myself that that is what I would do. After a few local meetings, I'd heard that Greenwich was a strong meeting and had a lot of recovery, and that if I wanted a sponsor, this was a really good place to come. So I arrived early here for my first meeting, and the first person I spoke to said, "Have you got a sponsor?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm looking for a sponsor." And she said, "Well, if you haven't got a sponsor by the end of this meeting, I'll take your calls for 7 days. Well, I was a bit taken aback by this, because my idea was that I'd spend a few weeks going around and listening to people and finding someone I like the sound of. "There's no need to do that," she said. "You only need to ask 3 questions. Are you abstinent? How long have you been abstinent? And are you working your program? If the answer to those questions is satisfactory, you've got yourself a sponsor." So I copied down the numbers of all the sponsors in the We Care book, and in 24 hours, I'd found a sponsor. As I hadn't heard my sponsor say more than hello up to that point, it was really a higher power choice, and I'm so grateful. I couldn't have had a more supportive, compassionate guide through the steps, and I'm grateful for that every day. And when I later came up against occasional moments of resistance, my sponsor would say to me, "Judy, are you willing to go to any lengths to get your recovery?" And that put me back on track real quickly. Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to other sufferers and to practice these principles in all our affairs. What does it mean, a spiritual awakening? In the first 2 pages of the chapter on step 12 in the AA 12 and 12, it suggests that there may be as many definitions of a spiritual awakening as there are people who have them. It It says, certainly each genuine one has something in common with all the others. And those things that they have in common are not too hard to understand. It says, the most important meaning of it is that the individual has now become able to do, feel, and believe that which he could not do before on his unaided strength and resources alone. It also says, he finds himself in possession of a degree of honesty, tolerance, unselfishness, peace of mind, and love, of which he had thought himself quite incapable. In the past, I had noticed that during periods when I prayed and meditated regularly, my life just seemed to flow more smoothly and easily. And when I lapsed from regular practice, life felt rocky and problematical. Still, I found many occasions when I grabbed back my self-will. Earlier this year, I had such a dramatic illustration of my higher power directing my life way beyond anything I could do for myself, the penny really dropped for me, and I began to feel how pointless it was to cling to doing my life my way. I'd gone back to the States, and I had, because my father had died 5 or 6 years ago, I had cleared the family house, and I still had a big storage unit to deal with. And just before I arrived in California, I discovered that the three families that who I expected to stay with in the town where the storage unit is, for various reasons of health and family commitment, weren't able to have me stay. And I don't drive. And so I just thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And my brother-in-law had said to me, he was just too stressed and couldn't help, and he wasn't going to drive down into the ferocious heat of the valley, so that was that. So, okay. However, the night before I was due to go down there, he said to me, well, he said, maybe I will just drive you down there. We ought to really have a look at the storage unit and see what's there. And so he drove me over there, and we went through the storage unit. And he ended up saying, look, I will take all the paintings and a couple of boxes. Later, he told me that when he saw what was in there, he just thought, how on earth was I ever going to deal with that? So he took those things away, and later he drove them to the shipping agent. So I was staying with a friend in a town an hour away from where the storage unit was. And because I just didn't know what to do. And each morning I just turned to my higher power and said, help, I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is going to happen. What, please help me. I just don't know how this is going to happen. I couldn't see any way for it. There's no public transport in Central California. I don't drive. So, but little things began to happen, just little small things. And one day, the friend I was staying with said, do you remember that friend that we met over at the coast last year? I think she used to work in the town where you have to go. I'll give her a ring and see if she still goes there. And then I had a ride the following week, 2 days, over to that town. Then another friend said, well, if you don't mind leaving at 7:30 in the morning, I'll drive you over there and we can bring some of the boxes back. And then another time a friend said, have you thought about an auction house? And the auction house, bless their little hearts, would come all the way over to that town and for only 5% extra, collect it and drive it all the way back. I was so thrilled to find that possibility. And each day I would wake up and just say, help. I'd do as much as I could, and then I just handed it over. And every day I noticed that although there was never a point at which I could tell it was actually going to happen, but some little tiny thing happened to put the whole project a bit further ahead. And I guess because I was handing it over every day, there was I did the groundwork, But there was a feeling of ease because once I'd handed it, I knew there wasn't anything more I could do. I just handed it over. And then there was just the rest of it was just easy because I wasn't struggling with it anymore. But little things, I just watched to see what little things transpired. And little bit by little bit, it went along. And eventually, it was accomplished. And since then, every morning and many times through the day, especially when difficulties arise, I hand over to my higher power and ask to be guided. What is the next right thing for me to do? It's really a big change in my life. Because when I first came to 12-step programs, I really had a lot of problem with the idea of God and the idea of handing over. And to find that I now can't imagine my day without it just shows for me another miracle of the program. When my sponsor began to suggest that I would soon begin to sponsor, at first I felt a bit apprehensive. It seemed such a responsibility. And I wondered whether I was up to being there for someone every day as my sponsor has been for me. I know how vital it has been for my recovery to have had a kind and diligent, wonderful sponsor. My sponsor always assured me that it was important. It was as important for her as it was for me. And I guess I always really rather thought she was just being kind and generous. However, it does say in the big book in chapter 7, page 89, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from our disease as intensive work with other sufferers. I remember back at the beginning when I first began to make outreach calls, I really hesitated to pick up the phone, especially if I wasn't feeling great. I thought, oh, I'll just be a nuisance. I'll be a real, be so boring. I don't want to intrude on somebody else and all that kind of stuff. But when I finally found it possible to pick up the phone and speak to someone, I found invariably it was a really perfect moment to have that conversation. And it was a mutually beneficial exchange. And I really don't know, it's just a kind of magic, I reckon. And I have to remember that I don't need to be an expert or know it all. I'm simply holding out my hand to another member and sharing my experience of working through the steps of the program and the strength and hope that I've gained on the journey. I feel it's taken me a little while to really focus on the 12th step and develop a wider understanding of what it entails. I hadn't really considered that just being abstinent is carrying the message. Being abstinent and present in meetings is carrying the message. Talking to other fellows is carrying the message. Making and receiving phone calls is carrying the message. And when I'm invited to do a chair, I say yes. On page 113 of the 12 and 12, it says, we sit in meetings and listen, not only to receive something ourselves, but to give the reassurance and support which our presence can bring. If our turn comes to speak at a meeting, we again try to carry the program message. Whether our audience is one or many, it is still 12-step work. I've especially appreciated the self-care aspect of the program. And self-care today means for me that every day I wake up and I pray and meditate. I write my food plan and my plan for the day. I have 3 meals a day and nothing in between. I go to meetings, make and receive outreach calls, and now have 2 sponsees. It's sometimes easy now to forget what it felt like way back in the beginning, but speaking with sponsees brings back to me that initial trepidation, confusion, and shame that I felt. And I feel humbled to witness the courageous first steps of members of this fellowship seeking a way through the treacherous morass of this pervasive disease and declaring themselves willing to do whatever it takes to achieve a healthier, happier way of living in the world. And each day, with the help of my higher power, I aim to meet each event of the day with patience, kindness, and tolerance. As far as my recovery goes, I can't keep it unless I give it away. Thanks.